What happened in 1914? Well, if we look at it in the world, there was an awful lot of things that, you know, we know of as world events, and some perhaps we didn't, that kind of frame us up from a technology and a political and so forth, all of these different ways. And one of the things we learned, there was a little sign down there, CBEC was established in 1914, 100 years ago. But, of course, any of us would say, well, what was the most significant event? And of course, we would think about World War I started in 1914. So we have these many interesting things that happened, but really, in the world, it was the First World War, which they knew of as the Great War, because it was the first time in history that really there was a war that basically encompassed all the continents. And so the events leading up to that was the assassination of the Archduke of Austria and his wife, and that kind of culminated and churned up all of these animosities between the different really tribal regions in Europe. And on August 1st, Germany declared war on Russia, and that is officially known as the start of World War I. And then, of course, after that, there followed from August 2nd through the 13th, there was a number of declarations of war, and so the nations were basically joining in. So all of these kingly alliances were kind of falling into place and forming two sides. And August 23rd, Japan jumped in, so we had Asia jumping in as well. November 2nd, Russia declared war on the Ottoman Empire, and Brother Todd already talked about how important that decline was. Well, this was kind of the death throes of that. And we'll see, you know, as we know from history, that after the Great Wars, that empire really didn't exist anymore. And then on December 7th, the Jews were expelled by the Turks from Tel Aviv because they had a foothold there. And so some of the Jews were expelled as well. And so typically this is what we think about is World War I. That was the big event. We look to the question book, and in 1905, so 9 years prior, the pastor wrote this. Why should the trouble begin with 1914? Now, the pastor was a very astute student of the Bible and a student of prophecy. He wasn't a prophet, but he was a student of prophecy. And this is what he said 9 years before the event. I want you to consider the precision for which he's really dealing with this in the future. The answer, I answer that the reason we expect it to begin there in the full sense is that the Father laid out the plan of the whole age. So he's saying I'm basing this based on the plan of the ages, plus some chronology. And it says here, Brother Russell gave a long talk on the times of the Gentiles. So 9 years before the times ended, he gives this long talk of what his expectations were. Of course, we understand some of his expectations were here, some of the reality was here, but, you know, from our 100-year perspective now, 100 years later, those expectations up here have almost all been met. And it says, it was showing a long talk on the times of the Gentiles, showing that their lease on power began in 606 BC and will end in the fall of 1914. Wow, I'm impressed. Really nailed it right on the head, didn't he? So it was August 2nd. Well, I guess technically that's not quite fall. It's the end of summer. But, you know, he saw very clearly the time frames that this was going to be fulfilled. If we go to 1914, another question came out. And it said, should we expect that by the end of 1914, the lease on power, this great lease that God had given to the Gentiles, the times of the Gentiles, would expire? And what would that mean? So what we were seeing here is now is this is a question during 1914, and he's looking towards the fall. And I'm sure what the brethren were asking is, here's where you set the level, what's going to happen. And they're asking him, what's going to be the result at the end of 1914? His response is very interesting. His answer was, why you have lived in a house and perhaps your lease has expired, and with the expiration of the lease, the landlord sends you a notice to quit and get out. So I presume that the Gentiles will be served a notice to quit. And just what that will mean to the Gentiles, I am not wise enough to know. So he's admitting, I don't know all the particulars, but he saw the process that was going to take place. And he saw that, yeah, there's going to be a change in the power structure that's going to occur. And then he continues, and if you do not quit and give possession of your house according to your lease, if you do not do so peacefully and quietly, in all probability, an officer would come around and put you out in the street. So he's giving us a very wonderful analogy here. It's of being put out of your house. And so if you ignore the writing on the wall, so to speak, then you're going to be put out. And so I am not expecting that the Gentiles will know anything about this notice to quit. And they are not thinking of quitting at all. How true that is. They didn't have a clue. And really, if you look at it, only those that were watching and waiting in expectation. Remember, this is 1914. Now they're questioning what's happening and what's going to happen next. And you know, I know we're looking at today in 2014. We've got ISIS out there. We've got the Arab Spring going on. We've got conflict in Israel. And we're asking the exact same questions. So this is really encouraging. So they had the start of World War One, and now they're asking, well, what's it going to be? Is it going to be up here? Is it going to be down here, somewhere in the middle? What's going to happen? And the pastor was wise enough to say, I'm not wise enough to know. But we know things are going to happen. We know what the end game is. Very wise answer. So what should our focus be with regards to this whole issue of 1914? Well, we've talked about the world, but should we be looking at the world or should we be looking at Israel? Ooh. Well, like I said, if you go out and ask the person in the cafeteria what happened in 1914, they're going to tell you World War I started. But is that where our focus should be? And what we want to point out is that the Bible frames his people, natural Israel, by worldly events. So what he's doing, he's saying here, what should your focus be? Well, it should be on Israel, because that's what this is all about. But he's going to describe it in reference to world events so that you can see where we are in the stream of time. Very important. And so August 4th, 19, this is the Jewish calendar, and that occurs in the month of Ab, A-B. So that's the fifth month. And you see where the Day of Atonement, you see where the Passover is and so forth. You see the Jewish New Year. And so you see the month. So what is that a significant date? Well, it's also called the ninth of Av in 1914. And if you say to a Jew, you're going to hear Tisha B'Av. And so our question is, what's the significance of this date in the Jewish calendar? Because it is a date of significance. So what's the date, what's the significance of that date? What happened in Tisha B'Av? Well, in 1319 BC, Moses accepted the report of the 10 spies. We just heard about that, right? And what was their punishment? 40 years in the wilderness. They were being punished for what? Disobeying God. Brother Todd mentioned it. Brother Ray mentioned it. And it falls right into place. That's seen as the starting point. In 586, the first temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. In 70 AD, the second temple was destroyed by Titus. In 135 AD, Bar Kochba event, a revolt, was crushed by the Romans. So the Jews were put down. And in that same year, they plowed under the temple. That's when they broke it down. So, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That's a secular event. What happened to the Jews? Mass expulsion of the Jews from Spain started on Tisha B'Av. 1914, the event we've noted, the start of World War I. 1941, the final solution. The final solution was Hitler's final solution for the Jews. And when we went to Auschwitz, we saw and were horrified by the documents. It was the elimination of the Jews, published Tishbav, 1941. 1 year later, to the day, mass expulsion started from the Warsaw Ghetto. Tishbav. And today, the Jews mourn those that were lost by the Holocaust, as well as looking at all of these events. And so Tish B'Av is a day of mourning on the Jewish calendar. And 1914, August 1st, was Tish B'Av. So something changed there. Something changed. We've already seen how the 2,520 years work from the Babylonian captivity all the way down to the start of World War I. 2,509. And that is described as a period of Gentile dominion. But what I want to say is, let's not focus on the Gentile part of it, but what it's doing to the nation of Israel. So they were taken out of their land. They were a people that were no longer a people. But then they started to come back together. And it really, if you want to get it from a Bible standpoint, it really ushers in a period where we have a new chapter for natural Israel, for God's people. A new chapter is opening. The old arrangements are going away, but the new thing is coming in. And when we look at Leviticus 26, where we find many of these prophecies, it starts out, the first part of the book talks about blessings for obedience. The second theme is punishments for disobedience. That's what Tish B'Av was about, right? They rejected the report of the spies. Remember, two of them came and said, it's a land of milk and plenty, of milk and plenty, and that God would usher them in, and the other 10 spies came back and said, no, they're really big and they're really bad and we can't defeat them. And so really, if you think about it, rather than believing what God had promised, they believed more of the secular view that we couldn't do it, and so God punished them. And then we have the seven times laid out, the diaspora, the dispersion, and then the regathering. And continuing the loss of kings in Ezekiel 21, 25 through 27. And thou profane and wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come, when iniquity shall have an end. Thus saith the Lord thy God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. And he continues, I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it to him. So it's saying, at the appropriate time, he will come, and then I will give back to the natural Israel. I will reinstate them, and they will no longer be under dominion. Now, when we look at this seven times of punishment, Brother Ray already covered these, but we see that it happened actually four times as we look at verses 18, 21, 24, and 28. What's the significance of this? Well, we had four universal empires, didn't we? And we see here with the seven times a year being a time, 360 times seven, the 2,520 years that we've already seen. But if we fade it back, we see that he repeats this four times. We think significant because of the four universal empires, showing that that was the dominion they were going to be under. And this opened a new chapter for Israel. What did it? The change of this worldly arrangement that was not dealing directly with Israel, but affected Israel, this crumbling process. Favor was returning to Israel. What happened to the kings? Well, Daniel 2:35, it says, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken into pieces together and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. Now, I'm not a meteorologist, but if I was, I would tell you that if you mix iron and clay together, it's weak. It will crack. It will fall apart. It's a bad combination. And this is what was happening, ecclesiastical, the false system, and the governments mixed together. And by the way, this is the foundation of these four universal empires. What happens when your foundation goes away? Well, the building collapses, and that's exactly what's being described here. So we have these four universes. All of this is coming crashing down and then being blown away. And we also see this with relation to these four kingdoms and then the ten toes at the bottom. But we also see this in relationship to a very important thing. These feet being crushed, showing that this ten-toed nation was going to be broken up. And it just didn't end with the ten toes. It was pulverized. Now, this pulverization, if we're to believe this is not only the combination of the religious but the political systems, how many more nations and governments have we today than we had in 1914? Well, a lot more. Those nations have broken and broken and broken. And if you look at their colonies in Africa, there are so many nations down there where it was basically holdings of just some of the major European powers before that. And what's happened to the church systems as well? Well, they've been pulverized. Over 4,000 religions today. So we see happening exactly what was predicted, and we're waiting for the four winds to blow. But what we want to say in closing is, it's all about Israel. It's not about the Gentiles.